Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your host, Steven.
And Kyle.
Thank you, lovely listeners, for tuning back in with us today. And thank you for sharing us with all your weird-ass friends, because that's what makes the show go round.
Absolutely.
All you bunch of weirdos. Hope you're all doing awesome out there. Hope everything's going the way you want it to, and you're living your best fucking life. And some other stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But Kyle's going to bring us a dope-ass episode on the Wendigo today, so hang around through all the business for that. And we got ourselves a little listener experience submitted, so we'll get into that too. But first, the fucking business. You know the deal.
Always.
Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Hollow Sky Podcast. Just search us up. Come and hang out at the fan group. Add yourself to it. Fucking just hang out. Share weird stories you come across, weird memes, your own weird stories. The whole fucking 9 yards. Just get it. Hell yeah. If you have a listener experience, on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. That's an easy way to listen and watch videos of nothing but our logo.
Yeah.
Which is fucking tight.
Hopefully that'll change in the near future when we stop being broke fucks.
True.
And get some sweet gear.
Speaking of gear, there was no fizz on that at all.
Nope.
Monster's gonna have to step it up.
Fucking flat.
It's still kind of crispy. Anyway, if you got a weird story you'd like to tell us, Kyle's going to tell you how to do it.
You can call us at 877-800-HOLLOW, or you can use your voice memo app on your smart device, record your story, then shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also write your stories in. You can text us, just do whatever you got to do to get us them creepy ass stories so we can talk about them.
It's Hell
one
yeah.
of one of the favorite things that we do. We like to read and react and try to figure out what the fuck is happening to you guys.
Yeah, it's dope. And we're kind of running low, so
yeah, it's time to step your game up.
Sasquatch call. Woo. Everybody get your stories in.
Awesome.
Speaking of podcasts, if you listen to us on Apple or iTunes, feel free to hop over and leave us a five-star rating and review. We will happily shout you out. It's just a good way to help support us. It kind of drives us through the charts and makes us easier to be found for people looking for creepy-ass paranormal shows that'll help us pop up. So today's five-star rating and review is brought to us by I'm probably going to say this wrong, so I apologize. Lalo Almaguer, we're going to roll with it, says the best podcast, 5 stars. Such an amazing podcast. I could listen to this all day. Dope.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
We appreciate it.
I love reading shit like that.
Yeah. And
just the ego.
Everybody, boost. Yeah, for sure. But everybody knows that I don't have Facebook and all that jazz. But the people around me do. And I recently discovered that some of you weird motherfuckers out there want to meet up with us. What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
We're not that cool, we promise. It is super flattering.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap our minds around the fact that people want to hang out with us.
That people even want to talk to us or listen to us.
Yeah.
Is one thing, but now you people want to meet us.
Which is dope.
And we got people wanting to buy shirts and shit.
Which is also dope.
It's fucking weird.
We're thinking about, speaking of which, we're thinking about starting a Patreon, which I, if you're not familiar with Patreon, it's kind of like a subscription-based, like, donation process you can set up for your podcast, and then listeners can donate $2 a month or $5 a month or whatever set up in the tiers, and the podcasters offer additional stuff,
yeah,
so to speak. Some people do additional content, some people do like promotional merch that you can only get through Patreon. We're kind of flirting with that idea. If anybody would be interested, let us know. And if you have any suggestions for tiers, shit that you guys want, like special stickers or shit like that, t-shirts, or if you're interested in additional content, let us know. We really want your feedback before we pull a trigger on something like this. But for the most part, it's just to help to support our hosting fees and help support getting new merch done. And if we do manage to set up some kind of meetup in the future, it'll go to fees toward that, maybe like having an open bar or some shit where everybody gets together. And
just get shit-faced and get abducted.
Well, that went a different route I thought it was going to.
I'm there with you guys.
But yeah, think about it. Look into Patreon. And if you guys, if that's something you all are interested in, definitely let us know. And we want your suggestions as to what kind of goodies you get in the tiers that you are thinking about subscribing to, so to speak. So we want to get it put together, something that you guys want. So let us know.
Yeah.
That'll be dope.
Yeah, and we could always use equipment and, you know, we've talked about trying to go out to places like Stardust Ranch, Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, that would fucking be a
weird
shit show.
Weird-ass places like that.
We changed the name from Hollow Sky to shit show.
Yeah, I know. I'd be scared as fuck. But there's not a doubt in my mind that if we had the opportunity to go to, like, Stardust Ranch, I'm going to Stardust Ranch.
And if I have a GoPro, you can watch me fist fight an alien.
Yeah.
Or an interdimensional being.
You'll probably watch me scream and flip it off.
Somebody posted a meme on the Facebook page. God damn it, I can't remember what it was, but I laughed so hard.
So helpful.
It was. I'm going to have
so
to find
helpful.
It. I wasn't prepared to think about it.
I have
it right
no
now.
Idea what it was, but I laughed really hard.
It was.
It's awesome.
There was something about.
I had a dream that somebody made a cartoon of us, like an actual mini 15-minute episode of a cartoon, and all I remember from it is it was like Scooby Doo, and you and me were walking with flashlights, and then something jumped out and scared us from behind, and all we did was scream and turn around and flip it off.
That sounds like exactly how it would go.
I know.
Damn it, let me find it.
It made me laugh.
Sorry for wasting everyone's time. But
it happens.
Holy shit, it was funny. Oh, yeah. It says, how I imagine our two favorite podcasters in an investigation. And it's got two ghost hunters investigating, and one of them is screaming, eat my ass, spirits. And the other one's crying, saying, please don't eat my ass, spirits.
Well, I mean, it'd basically be you and me.
Pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went off on a tangent there.
No, that's good. It's
good. We're going to bring it back around, we promise.
Maybe.
Yeah, no. Okay, speaking of listener submissions, if you guys want to get those in, Kyle just told you how. Today's is brought to us by our friend Olivia. She submitted this quite a while ago, so I apologize not getting to it, but we kind of just are all over the place.
That's who we are.
We're not good at planning.
No,
so
we're not. We're just kind of winging it and falling where we fall.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's what it is. So
it's got to bug us.
This is from Olivia. She says, "Hello, gentlemen. My name is Olivia, and I'm excited to finally be able to sit down and write out me and my family stories for you guys. Sorry if the format is weird. I'm on mobile. Also, this is long, so here it goes. It all started when my mom was a kid. She would hear whispers and jumbled words like static, but with voices. Sometimes they would echo, get louder inside her head, until she'd yell at them to stop. When she got older, she was tested for schizophrenia and received a negative. She also told me of an experience she had of her laying in a bed next to her sleeping boyfriend. She said that she felt a bad presence standing next to her trying to coax her out of bed, pretending to be him. She heard his voice in her head telling her that it was him and that it was okay, but she needed to get up and follow him. She said she was paralyzed in fear, knowing and feeling her boyfriend was asleep next to her, while also feeling something evil looming over her. When she felt it eventually leave, she opened her eyes to see the demonic boyfriend walking away down the hall, which apparently her real boyfriend wasn't any better, because when she woke him up and told him what happened, he was rude and told her to go back to sleep." What a dick. Anyway, she also had an out-of-body experience, but to my knowledge, that's fairly common, but still creepy. Cut to later, after my mom had my sister, my brother, and I. Growing up, it was just us four. We moved around a lot, partly due to there being mold in the house, and partly because every house we moved into seemed to be haunted. My earliest memory, we lived in the Red House. That's in quotes what she calls it. Here, my mom experienced the sound of glass breaking in the middle of the night. When she went to investigate, she found nothing. She also heard old music playing in what sounded like the attic, but when she checked, the music stopped, and she, again, didn't find anything. One day, my brother didn't know what to do with all of his shoes he had no room for in his closet, and our mom told him to just put the shoes in pairs and line them up against the wall. He did so and went about his day playing. When he went back into his room, his line of shoes had curved out into the middle of the floor by themselves. Another day, all four of us were outside together when my brother had to go inside to use the restroom. He kept the door open like a typical 7-year-old, when soon something caught his eye. As he looked over, he saw a dark apparition of a man gliding toward our dining room, looking back at my brother. He was described as having a trench coat, transparent legs, black curly hair, and red eyes. My mom said he ran out of the house with his pants barely up. The last straw at the house was when it was a normal day with everyone just hanging out inside, when suddenly the house shook. It felt as if a huge pipe had burst underground. When my mom called the cops and the fire crew checked it out, nothing was broken and everything was fine. We were the only house on the block that felt it. At our next home, I was age 8 to 11 and a lot of shit happened there. My sister saw somebody out of the corner of her eye walk into the kitchen while she was looking in the bathroom mirror. My sister called for her, entered the kitchen, and even got halfway down our basement stairs when she realized no one was down there and my mom wasn't even home. Another time, I was in the dining room facing the front of the house while my mom was on the front porch talking on the phone. I was too lazy to walk through the living room and out in the front door to get her attention, so in hopes she would hear me yell, I called her name loudly. From the part of the living room I couldn't see and never liked, I heard a woman respond with, "Yeah." I stood up in shock and asked my sister if she just responded to me, and she answered with a very annoyed no. Another time, I was plugging in a blow dryer on the side of my room. In the corner behind me, I had a 4-foot cubby with an old plastic coffee jar on top. In it was just some change and some hair ties. The metal change against the plastic was always loud when I moved it, so when I heard that distinct clanging noise, I turned around to see the jar 2 feet away on the floor, sitting straight up. And some other weird stuff happened here and there, and eventually found out spirits were attracted to our light. When I came outside during my mom's garage sale to tell her something had just happened, a woman medium overheard us and told us what she felt. She also sent a cat into the light, apparently. I tried staying in touch with her via email, but since I was a kid, I didn't really keep up with it. Thank you for reading, and I'll send part two shortly. All right. Thank you so much for submitting your story, Olivia.
Yeah.
And we'll tune in. Everybody make sure to tune in next week for part two. That's when we're going to read it. It brings me to the question that I often ask, like, is a place haunted or are people haunted? Not to
exactly
try
where
to
I was going.
Freak you out, but since this started when your mother was younger and it's kind of carried over, and you said you moved a lot of houses and all of them seemed haunted, I don't know if anybody's that lucky or unlucky to move into a haunted house every single time they move.
No. I thought the exact same thing as soon as you said it. I'm like, it's not the houses that are haunted. It's you guys. And like that's basically what the psychic told him, is that for whatever reason the spirits are attracted to their light. Yeah. Which I don't know much about that in aspect to all this, but it makes sense. It's basically saying, you know, they're attracted to you. It sounded like some of the encounters would have fucking sucked. Like seeing the curly-headed dude with red eyes, that would have creeped me out.
Yeah, that's weird.
That would have creeped me out.
The story of your mother about the two boyfriends really messed with me, because you had one laying in bed to you, next to you, or her, and then she had another one standing next to her, and you know the one standing next to you is not the right one, at least you think.
But you'll still question.
But it's telling you that it is the right one, and yeah, to follow it. It's almost like that scary story where the little girl's crying for her dad. She's laying in bed, and the little girl says, "Dad, there's a monster under my bed." So the dad goes under the bed to look for the monster, and when he raises the covers up under the bed, the little girl's under the bed, and she goes, "Dad, there's a monster in my bed."
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. So now you're like, oh, shit. What?
Which one's my daughter?
Yeah. Just burn the whole house down.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's the only option. Everything, I guess.
Yeah, I'm definitely inclined to say that I think the medium hit it spot on when they said that the spirits are attracted to you and your family personally. Like, maybe they see something in you guys that's like, I don't know, enlightening. You know, maybe. They see you as their ticket to pass on, so to speak.
Maybe you're just a family of sensitives.
Yeah, could be.
You know,
I'm kind of anxious to get to part two and see what else happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the feeling of evil is one thing.
Yeah.
But it's almost not like physically threatening evil. You know what I mean? Like, there's some weird shit that happened that's scary, but it doesn't quite seem like anything physically hurt them so far.
No. And I mean, like you just said, I mean, you see a ghost or the shadow person, you see that, A, it's going to scare the fuck out of you, and B, I mean, you might take it as an evil spirit because it was black. Doesn't necessarily mean that it was, but we kind of
associate darkness.
Yes,
to
yes, exactly,
terror.
Exactly.
They and talking about watching the shadow move from the kitchen reminds me of my house specifically, which I haven't actually seen it move in a long time. Usually, when I'm on midnights, I'll see it because I'm up all night.
Right.
Even on my days off, I don't flip my sleep schedule, so I'll be in there watching television and shit, and I'll see it walk same path every day. I almost feel some sort of empathy for it because it does the same thing every time I see it.
It just stuck in a constant loop.
Yeah. Like, does it even know?
Probably not.
It's fucked up. Anyway, thank you again so much, Livy, for submitting you and your family's stories. Everybody tune in to our episode next week. We'll get to part two. Hopefully it's just as weird as this one. With that, Kyle's going to magically whisk us away into the realm of the Wendigo.
Yeah, buddy.
Hell yeah. That's one of my favorite paranormal entities.
Likewise.
I've looked into it for a long time since I was young. And there's just something about the lore and the Native American history with it that just really sparks my imagination.
Oh, yeah. And like I've attested a million times, and I'll do it a million more. Like, I really get into Native American beliefs. It's something that just completely takes hold of me, and I don't know, just it's fucking fascinating. But I chose the Wendigo, and here we go. The evil spirit that devours mankind. That's one of the kind of breakdowns of the Wendigo. It has been a trademark of the deep, cold, dark forests in the north. During the turn of the 20th century, a large number of people went missing mysteriously. The Algonquin people attributed this to the Wendigo, or the spirit of lonely places. The Wendigo is said to be one of two things: a physical being. Some people think it is a distant relative of Bigfoot. Other people claim that it could be a form of werewolf. It sometimes has the head of a stag. And other times it was more of a monster version of a man. Just kind of like picture a man eroded and just hideous, basically. Another really fucked up description was that the beast would actually grow in proportion to the size of the meal it just ate, making it impossible
like me
for the creature to ever be satisfied.
Also like me.
But if you envision that, that is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that's...
And what...
Horrible.
That would be utterly shitty to live that life.
Yeah.
You're all, you know, your body would constantly be changing to compensate for that meal, just so it knows you'll never be satisfied no matter how much you eat.
Yeah.
We'll just keep making you bigger so you can't be satisfied. There are reports...
That sucks.
Yeah, exactly. There are reports that say the creature can be up to 15 feet tall, that the body of the Wendigo is almost always described as emaciated. The Wendigo has long, sharp claws and massive eyes, like an owl. Most accounts agree that the skin is almost of an ashy tone. Usually, the Wendigo is said to have extreme speed and agility. He can also endure walking for long periods of times.
Also like me.
Well, false. Some reports that his walk is more of a haggard manner, like he's falling apart. And then you'll hear the counter argument, well, that doesn't make sense if he has extreme speed and agility. But walking and running are two completely different things, so that's kind of my take on that, just because he's walking.
Yeah, he could do it to make you think like he's weak and frail.
Right.
And you go up there, and then he eats you.
You're right.
And he gets three times as big.
That would suck. It would be terrifying. The spirit version of this beast is said to be able to possess humans and give them the same desire of flesh that he himself has. It apparently, the spirit version...
Fucking cannibals.
The spirit version would target people who were overcome with greed, selfishness, or being a glutton.
There's one thing I hated about the Midwest and still do. It's all the fucking cannibals.
Yeah, I agree. The Midwest does suck. I don't know. I don't know the logic between the cannibals, but there probably is a couple cannibals out there somewhere.
All the fucking cannibals.
There was a native author named Basil H. Johnson described the Wendigo, and his description of it was that it was gaunt to the point of emaciation, its dissected skin pulled tightly over its bones, with its bones pushing over its skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into the sockets. The Wendigo looked like a giant skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody, unclean and suffering from separations of the flesh. The Wendigo have off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. Most accounts of this creature say that they are almost impossible to escape. They are relentless in the fact that they are relentless if they have to pursue you. And on grunge.com, they actually, which a lot of you may remember the first Jurassic Park. You remember when the girl is hiding in the room and there's a velociraptor outside and he starts to...
Oh, tap?
He's clicking on the door handle and he figures out how to open the door. They apparently compare the velociraptor to the Wendigo in the sense that it doesn't have any problems opening doors.
Great.
So basically they're saying no matter what, if you encounter this creature and it decides to pursue you, you're fucked. You're not getting away from it because it knows how to open doors. And it's got extreme speed and agility. Like, it is set to win. And there's also the theory that even if you were to escape, that the encounter itself affects the human soul.
I've heard stories about people who have reportedly encountered Wendigos and it's to the point to where they hear them either trying and successfully mimicking.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to mow your lawn here again.
No.
If you get into that, but mimicking not only their own voices that they hear, like they'll hear them repeat things that they've said over and over and over again.
Yep.
To try to mimic their voice, but they will also hear them essentially mimicking voices of people that they know. Like one report was a woman's or a guy's dead mother. He heard her calling from the woods.
That'd be fucked up.
Yeah, which is, it's a whole different level of fucking terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, right here I wrote, not to mention in its own turf, it thrives in the cold, which humans mostly do not. And as we've all heard, is that the Wendigo possesses the ability to mimic human shit. Voices.
Yeah, I didn't mean to fucking jump in too early. No, it's good.
But to note, like I write here, to worsen that is it will usually try to mimic someone you know or love. If it can't, there's also been accounts that it will sound like a crying baby.
Oh, yeah, because who would, like, it's human nature to try to go help exactly. a baby.
And then in these accounts, what happens is that it'll mimic the crying baby. You'll start to pursue it, and then consistently the cries will get far. Like, they'll just stay just out of, it's almost like they're moving with your movements. And what it's said to be trying to do is lure you further and further into the woods, basically ensuring that you won't be getting away, that it's going to have its meal because you took the bait.
And hearing people describe the encounters, especially of it mimicking, or it's almost like it speed learned how to do it. Like it'll start repeating something like let me in or unzip the tent, and then you'll hear it just one after another repeating itself and repeating itself.
Perfects it
until it sounds almost exactly like you or someone in your party.
And terrifying. Yes. I was unable to find a lot like those types of accounts where people have actually seen the Wendigo and got away. There's one that
Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Found, I don't know if there's a lot of validity to it, but it was of a guy driving, and there was something on the side of the road, and he pulled over thinking it was a human, and he says, he's like, hey, like, you okay? And then it turns to him, and he's like, all I saw was its eyes sunk way back into its head, and I knew it wasn't human, so I put my foot on the gas, because it started,
see,
yeah, it turned towards him, he's seen it, and then it started, like, approaching his vehicle, and he's like, fuck this. Pedal to the metal, baby, and he got out of there.
I'm out, dog.
I would have done the exact same thing. So yep. Fuck this thing.
Yep, that is too much for me.
Yeah, it would be so scary.
Dude, I wouldn't fucking stop for people at night anyway.
Right, yeah.
Especially when it goes.
Oh, man. But another thing that I found that I wasn't quite aware of was that it's also said, per the lore, that the older a Wendigo gets, the stronger it actually becomes. It'll become faster, stronger. It even heals faster. And apparently, the OG Wendigos, which I found this kind of interesting when you look into, and Steve will pick it up, but like the other day, I just watched Missing 401 The Hunted. Cool documentary. I recommend watching it. But Dave Politis has a list of things that he references the cases to, like sudden weather changes, separation, blah, 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 blah. But it's fucked up. I'm reading this, I'm writing this report, and I stumble across this about how it becomes stronger, faster, heals faster. But apparently the OG Wendigos have the ability to change the weather. And damn, they have the ability to call upon darkness before sunset. It also apparently gains the ability to manipulate creatures of the forest as well. So and then how many times, not saying that it is a direct correlation, but how many stories when it comes to the woods, all of a sudden everybody shuts the fuck up?
Yeah, it's like, exactly, and I'm taking it in a level even further, because in a lot of the missing 411 cases, as soon as the search party gets together, horrible storms come in.
Yeah.
Snowstorms,
right,
or lightning and wind thunderstorms. And then, like you said, manipulates animals, so everything gets quiet.
Yeah.
Search dogs don't act the way they're supposed to fucking act.
I didn't even think of that.
They don't pick up scents. They get scared.
Yep.
Dude.
It's fuck. I'm not saying that it is a direct correlation.
No, that's a good crossover there.
Yeah, but it just like I'm when I read the ability to control the weather, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, once you start talking about it, I'm like, there's something to
up.
This.
And like I stated before,
hell yeah, brother.
A lot of people think that the Wendigo is at least a relative of Bigfoot. I'm not sure as to why. I'm sure that has to do something with Native American. But there, and then I also read that when it comes to this, the actual, whether it's the physical form or the spiritual form of the Wendigo and the natives, apparently the natives, which they are like this with a lot of things, but especially this type of shit, if you're not invited to talk to them, if you're not a part of their tribe, if you're basically an outsider, they won't even fucking think about telling you these stories.
Yeah,
these stories are for their people.
From what I hear, they're very adamant on you being invited.
Yes.
In.
Like, which I respect.
Oh, absolutely. That's their history and their culture, you know.
Yeah, and upon
to
reading,
be taken into that is something special.
Exactly, exactly. Like I told you about when I went to Shauna's family reunion, and they had a little powwow where they're doing the drums and singing. Like
that
was
awesome,
dude. It was, I don't know. I told Shauna, I said that was probably one of the coolest fucking thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope.
It was just, you felt, I don't know. It just made me feel some type of way. It was interesting to say the least. But that was. But it made me think when I was reading that if say a Native American were to listen to this episode, and I somehow disgrace the lore of the Wendigo or get facts wrong, please reach out. I would love nothing more to talk to you people about these types of things. And just I want you to know that we do, like, if you've listened to any other episode, you know that I hold the Native American beliefs in crazy high regard. For some reason, it resonates with me, and I don't know, like we've always talked about, whether a lot of people believe it or not, like Steve says, where there's smoke, there's fire. And that's just kind of how I feel when it comes to the natives and their beliefs and the things that they've had to deal with throughout their life.
Yeah, I was thinking that as we were talking earlier, when you were describing the Wendigo, and it goes forth into like Sasquatch and Skinwalkers, and even if they were not encountering these beings physically, they were encountering something in the forest so fucking terrifying that this was the only way that they could put it to word. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So it makes you wonder, like, what in the fuck was going on out
there? Right, exactly. But on the contrary to all you people afraid of going into the woods, I've got some good news for you. Apparently, the Wendigo can be killed. And here's how you kill it. I'm going to go ahead and let you know. That way, if you're ever camping in the deep wood and you have to fist fight a Wendigo, I'm going to tell you how to survive it.
Holy water.
No.
Silver bullet.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Stake through the heart.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
But
this is sounding an awful lot like some other horror movie trope.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's any validity or truth to this, but
werewolves.
Here we go. The main weakness is usually the heart. It's said that, I mean, there are native beliefs that even the monster itself is made of nothing but ice. But there are variations where the heart is usually ice. It's solid ice. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to smash their heart. Now, how are you supposed to smash their heart? With a silver blade, a silver stake, bullet, chopsticks, basically anything silver that can reach the heart. And that's not all. It gets better. It really does. So after you've smashed the heart with a silver object, then you must pick up all the shattered pieces of the heart.
This is starting to sound like a lot of fucking work.
It is a lot of work. It gets worse.
Just take me when to go.
Then you have to put all those shattered pieces into a silver box. Once you do that, you obviously lock the box. Then you take the box to a graveyard and bury it.
Any specific graveyard or just any
graveyard? No, just a graveyard. I've also read
that
with the body of the Wendigo, you're supposed to dismember it and burn it. So basically it's going to take you about a solid week.
So you have to pick up the heart pieces.
To get rid of it.
And bury them.
Yeah.
And then you have to dismember the ice body and burn it. What if it melts before you get back?
I guess that's a good thing.
I don't know.
Does
it grow baby Wendigos?
Probably.
Fuck that.
But even then, they basically said that it's not even a guarantee that it's going to prevent you. Because if it's true, the Wendigo can also be a spirit form. Well, guess what you just did?
Yeah, while you're picking up all the pieces of the heart, it's just embedding itself in your brain.
Right?
Now you're the Wendigo.
Awesome.
Congratulations. You fucked up.
Now, according to allthingsinteresting.com, there were many accounts of strange things happening in Quebec to the Rockies. And they were all similar to a particular case. But first, most of the sightings were reported between 1800 to the 1920s. So in that era, there are still a couple. It kind of thins out now, but you still do have the occasional report of it. In 1907, an Algernon Blackwood wrote about the Wendigo. It said that there was a hunting party that was venturing into the Canadian woods who all encountered one of these monsters. Ironically enough, around the same time, a member of the Cree tribe named Jack Fiddler told a minister about his ability to defeat Wendigos. Fiddler was a shaman who claimed to have killed 14 Wendigos in his time. In some accounts, he was killing locals before they turned into the actual creature.
I've read this story
so,
before.
You know,
he's just being preemptive.
Yes.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yes. After killing a woman.
Because you know what's easier than killing a Wendigo?
What's that?
Killing a person before it becomes a Wendigo.
Exactly. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah. Don't knock it.
I'm not going to fight it when it goes full Wendigo. I'm going to go ahead and take it out now.
Hell no.
It's easy.
It's 15 fucking feet tall.
I know. And
might
it's
as well
made
stab
ice.
It when it's 5'2".
Exactly. And I don't have very many ice bullets laying around. No. Or, I mean, silver bullets laying around.
I buried them all. The last 13 Wendigos.
Exactly.
I get it.
But apparently, with poor Jack here, he killed a woman. Him and his brother killed a woman, and obviously she was a Wendigo.
Clearly. You could just tell. You could just tell by that look in her eye.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, they both got arrested. Now,
that's
Jack,
weird.
Jack,
why would someone arrest a dude doing
a service?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Ignorant.
It's fucking weird.
Pure ignorance
it is.
On the town's part.
It is. Well, apparently, Jack's like, yeah, fuck this, which this doesn't even make any sense to me. So, Jack.
This is the part that's muddy in the water.
Oh, wait. Just wait. It's going to get fucking stupid, okay? And it's just two sentences I have here, but the more you think about it, you're like, this makes no fucking sense. So, Jack gets arrested for killing this lady, and he's like, yeah, fuck this jail thing. So he escapes.
Oh.
He gets out free and clear.
Deuces, I got Wendigos to kill.
Right. No. What's he do? He goes and fucking hangs himself.
Oh. Well.
So.
Probably because he was possessed by a Wendigo. He was doing another service.
Oh,
this
probably,
man stepped up to the plate twice now.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
he's like, yeah,
correct.
My luck went bad, so I'm out.
His brother, on the other hand, Joseph. I don't even really know what the fuck this means. But I guess he just hung out in jail. And days before his release, he died of what it's called consumption.
Consumption?
I don't fucking know.
Let's look it up. Google, take me away.
I don't know.
Consumption.
I feel stupid.
A wasting disease. Oh. Especially pulmonary tuberculosis.
Oh, so that sucks.
Yeah. So he was consumed by a Wendigo. From the inside.
Possibly. It's possible.
Which is kind of odd.
It's ironic.
When you think about the description of a Wendigo always being emaciated.
Yeah.
And he essentially turned into what is described as a Wendigo.
Yeah. That's fucking weird.
That's what you get for trying. That's what you get for trying to help people out and kill some Wendigos.
Yeah, I agree. It just, I mean, you can't win for
no good
in this
deed.
Society.
No good deed.
Right. A lot of people don't believe that the actual Wendigo is real. They attribute these stories to the violent nature of the natives, which is fucking bullshit. Some people also claim that these stories didn't start to surface until the natives met the Europeans. Then you have the stories of the Wendigo, which people attribute to the stress the Native American communities faced. So, you know, people attacking them, the harsh landscapes, the running out of food, all that terrible stuff that they ended up having to endure.
And, I mean, that kind of makes sense. When the Europeans were invading, what better way to keep them out of your forest than telling them that there's a cannibalistic 15-foot monster out there waiting for you?
That's true. But those tales are still told to this day. So.
Interesting.
Anyways. As usual, what fucking the modern Western world does, because we're all so fucking sophisticated, what do? They go ahead and they put a name to it. You know, this isn't a spirit. This isn't an actual creature. No. Silly. It's a mental illness. Like everything else on the fucking planet. We can't explain it, so obviously this dude is just fucked up in the head. They ironically enough, call it Wendigo psychosis. It's apparently a mental illness that manifests itself in a hunger for human flesh. Hey, just a psychosis thing, right?
It's all in your brain.
Right. But
you want to eat the guy next door? It's in your brain.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a mental illness, dude. But there's actually been many accounts of this popping up. And the weird part is that it never seems to be associated with actually being hungry.
Dude, that's what I told you. The worst part about the Midwest is all the fucking cannibals.
Right. Most of the cases just pop up out of nowhere, too. Like, there's nothing that leads to it. It's almost like people just become rabid and start eating the fuck out of
almost
each other.
Almost like they're possessed.
Almost.
By a Wendigo.
That's kind of what I think. But
bum, bum, bum.
One of these stories, which I find very interesting, was in the 1600s. The French missionaries of the Jesuit order traveled to North America. In the areas, what are Montreal, Quebec, and other northern regions. Now, of course, these people would come over in hopes to convert natives to Christianity, etc., etc. But upon running into these indigenous people, they started to share stories with them about the Wendigo. And the Jesuits published a book called Relations des Jesuits de la Nouvelle France, or simply put, The Jesuit Relations. I like that version better. The other one's way harder. One story described how they were supposed to meet a group of men, but the men were overcome with mysterious psychosis, which they go on to describe. The men became so ravenous for human flesh that they pounced on women, children, and even other men, and would devour them without being able to appease their appetite. The account went on to say that the men all had to be put down because they wouldn't break out of this condition.
Had to be put down.
No matter.
I fucking love it.
They would constantly continue like a rabid animal. So I picture that in my head, and I'm like, what in the actual
It'd be like a
fuck?
Zombie apocalypse.
But like in the 28 days later version, yeah. Where they're literally like a rabid dog on the end of a chain.
Yeah.
Just lunging at you, trying to bite your fucking leg off.
Kind of ties into this, but kind of not. One of my favorite cannibal movies. Oh, there's so many cannibal movies out there. You have a favorite, Steve? Blah, blah, blah.
Weird.
Anyway, it's called Ravenous, and it's about this group of explorers, I guess you'd call it, or out in the Northwest, and it kind of goes the route you think it would go. Not gonna spoil it. Check it out. It's dope.
No.
Check it out.
I don't fucking like
Ravenous.
That shit.
There's a scene with a gigantic fucking bear trap, and it's dope.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Sounds shitty.
You gotta watch it. I got it on DVD if you wanna borrow it.
No, I'm good.
All right, dope.
I'm good. Okay, so anyways, the last story that I have here, and this is a pretty fucking weird one. There was a man named Swift Runner, and he was a part of the Indian tribe, and what was it, the Algonquian or whatever it was?
Algonquin.
Yeah, Algonquin. Okay. Well, apparently they were very skilled in surviving in the wilderness and the cold and all that type of shit. He worked as a local guide for the mounted police. Now, in 1878, he took his family into the woods. The next time he was seen was in the spring of 1879. He claimed that all of his family, his wife, and six children died of starvation during the winter.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, the police noticed. They were like, hey, Swift Runner,
you're pretty chunky.
Yeah, you don't look like you skipped any meals, dude. So, being curious, they went out and they actually found his campsite. And it was fucking horrific.
It was full of delicacies.
They found his entire family. And they found bones literally picked fucking clean.
He was a hungry boy.
And some of the bones he even broke open and dug all the marrow out of it and ate the marrow.
It was a rough winter.
It fucking Damn. Would have to be to eat your own goddamn family. Jesus Christ.
I told you, cannibals are nothing to man. Fuck with.
And then they ended up confronting him, and instantly he folded and was like, yeah, I killed and ate him. But he claimed that he was possessed by the Wendigo.
And he turned 15 feet tall and ran into the woods.
No, then they just took him and they fucking hung him.
He's like, yeah, it was me. Just takes off running. Catch me if you can.
That reminds me of Pick of Destiny.
That's my favorite.
Oh, no, dude, it's so awesome.
Come here and let me stab you.
No. Not at all. But yeah, that's what I was able to find on the Wendigo. And like I said, I wish I could find more encounters of people who have actually seen it. I know I've read them somewhere, but I can't fucking find them anymore. I've read stories of people looking out their window and seeing these tall, lanky, ashy white creatures stalking Fuck around their that. House and shit like that. And it's fucking horrifying. And the fact that they can mimic voices is utterly terrifying.
Because, oh, dude. If
terrifying.
If I was in a cabin out in the woods on vacation and I'm just sitting out on the front porch, right? Just chilling out,
yeah.
Just at night, drinking some coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I am in this
scenario.
Flashback scenario, flash forward scenario.
Right.
If you hear your kid calling for help in the woods, you're not even going to question it.
No, not
at
all.
You're just going to go and get murdered.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because no matter what, even if I'm packing, well, I ain't got silver bullets.
No.
At all.
How you gonna fight the ice when to go?
It's definitely a credible source. Per Supernatural, if you just throw fire like Molotov cocktails at it, it will kill it.
Oh, that's much more accessible than a silver bullet.
Yeah, I agree. And if Sam and Dean can do it, I mean, Jesus.
Jimmy Dean, the sausage guy?
Yeah, the sausage dude. Yeah,
hell
yeah.
I remember an account I read. I don't remember what it was from, but it was a Wendigo story. I'm pretty sure it was fictional, but I can't back it up. But the story is where the Wendigos would take people from the cabins and they would just run with them as fast as they can. And eventually their shoes would wear off. Like, you'd start out with footprints like a person running, and then the shoes would wear off, and then their feet would start to wear off. So the footprints would turn into like bloody footprints where their feet are wearing, and it would just, as they'd keep going, it would wear up past the ankles, then past the knees, and eventually the Wendigo would just drag them into nothing. And when Kyle told me that they could also be possessed, it made me think that maybe my brain as a kid was reading it wrong, and maybe they were possessed and running on their own to
Probably.
The point to where they just wore themselves into nothing Probably. And disappeared.
Which but is fucking creepy.
Stuck. I wish I remember what book it was. I read so much weird shit as a kid, I don't even remember. Weird ass kid.
But I mean, the Wendigo lore is heavy up north, and it would, you know, that would make sense that their skin is ashy because they stick to the deep cold
they
woods.
They just blend in. Oh, not to change the subject, but I just wanted to shout out an artist. Shout out,
yeah.
We shouted him out before. We're gonna shout him out again. Jamie Snell, check him out on
For
social
sure.
media. Just Google him and he'll show up. He does some amazing artwork, and a lot of it pertains to Native American folklore.
Yeah,
I posted it up a few times. Kyle bought some awesome prints from him, and it is dope.
Yeah, whenever we get rich and get a new podcast room, his artwork's going up in there for sure.
Hell yeah,
because it is dope. I've got a Skinwalker one, a Wendigo one, and then Native chiefs wearing like Mothman
pelts.
Yeah, and dope. It's fucking cool. It's really cool shit. It's all black, white, and red. So it all, I don't know, it just looks amazing.
Yeah, if you guys want some awesome Native American / cryptozoology artwork for your walls, hit him up.
Yeah, it's cheap, too. It's like 10 bucks.
Especially now. I know he, a lot of his revenue and such comes from going to cons.
Yeah.
Crypto cons and stuff. And with the way everything's shut down now, I'm positive there none of them are going on, so get online and order some prints from him, help him out.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, they're worth it. They're awesome prints.
Yeah, they're fucking dope.
But yeah, that's about it. That'll wrap it up for the old Wendigo.
Right on.
Yeah, so if there's anybody of the native background or anybody who's encountered one, please hit me up. It's something that me and Steve obviously like. We're definitely into the Wendigo. We need to find more places with some information on it so we can revisit this again.
Hell yeah. So on that note, make sure to tune in next week for the second part of Olivia's story, and we will be bringing you, I've got together a couple really fucking weird possible alien abductions
great.
That we're getting ready to record. So tune fucking in and great. Check them out. Until next time, check us out at all our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube at Hollow Sky Podcast. Come over and hang out with us. And until the next time we hang out, be safe, stay weird, and always carry some silver bullets in case you run into fucking Wendigo. It's just what it is. And stay away from cannibals if you're in the Midwest.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.